This is the SML Podcast.
Okay, so we're on the air.
Let's roll.
I'm gonna introduce everybody. Nick, you won't see me point at you, but I will.
Perfect cue.
So, well, before we actually start, like, what do you want this episode to be? Do you want it to be 25, and then we're gonna come back around and do a joke podcast?
This will be SML Podcast episode 24, but really, or no, 25, but really 24, and next week will be 25, but really 20, or no.
26.
24, but
why don't
really
you just
25.
Do 24 and a half? And then the other one will be 24 and a half. Because then you'll equal 26 when you get there.
Well, let's let Nick decide. So, dude, we couldn't do a podcast last week. My suggestion was, instead of doing this week as episode 24, we do this week as episode 25 as scheduled. However, like, when we do a special podcast down the line because of, like, an announcement or something, that podcast will be episode 24, The Lost Podcast.
That's a good idea. I was a yes. I'm down with that.
Okay, so
I'm okay with 25.
Okay.
This is 25, then. Quarter century. Right?
Quarter century. I don't think we made it that far.
Yeah, quarter
but,
century.
Right. So, what's up, everybody? I'm Small.
I'm Medium.
And I'm Joe, because we dropped those names.
We did drop those names. I fucked up.
Do it again.
With us is Nick from Harmonix.
Harmonix Medium?
Yeah, Harmonix. Harmonix Extra Large.
Confirming Rock Band 4.
Yep.
Yep, there it is. There it is.
Whatever you guys said.
All right, so since we have you on the phone, we don't have you for too long. We're going to get right into the contest, which... So, we sent you the entries.
Yes.
I haven't seen any.
Eight entries.
Eight of them, wow.
Yes. This is entry one that I'm showing. If you guys want to check out...
You numbered them all?
Yes,
okay.
1 through 8.
Okay.
If you guys want to check these out on your own, the link is in the description. Or if you're, for some reason, not watching this on YouTube or save continue...
Oh, you're going to put the pictures up in the YouTube video?
No, I'm going to have the link to the pictures in the description.
That picture terrifies me.
Oh my goodness.
I'm showing them picture one right now. Did you have any comments your own on this picture?
Yeah, so I looked at them actually this morning for the first time. I think just last night. I looked at them this morning. I'm a little shocked at sort of what's coming out of people's brains. So the first picture is kind of incredible. Like, first of all, like I said earlier, like I was surprised that sort of how good artistically some of these were. Like, people with some real skill actually entered this contest. I expected just drivel, just like nonsense chicken scratch of,
you know, oh, there's plenty of drivel chicken scratch in there, but I put all the good entries near the front.
When Joe said we had eight entries, no. I'm like, are all eight of these entries like, Joe drawing something on a napkin and submitting them under different names?
I should have.
This is pretty great. So to be clear, I don't know who drew any of these. I don't know who is responsible for any of the pictures.
Make it as anonymous as possible.
I think Joe's the only one that knows.
Yeah, Joe is the only one that knows.
Yeah.
I do not want to know. So the first thing, like, so when I saw picture one, I was surprised that it was actually pretty damn good. It looks like something that, you know, like, if you've ever been to, like a boardwalk anywhere,
yes.
And they'll, like, draw a character face, and they're like, hey, draw my sister, and they draw, like, a weird picture of your sister, and, like, her big ears look like even bigger ears, and then they will, like,
it's true.
They will, like, spray paint it, and it just looks real dumb.
so it looks good, but dumb, is
caricatures,
what
I believe.
Caricatures, yes.
That is the word that I'm looking for here. So very, very, you know, I like the caricatures here. I was actually surprised. The thought of the band Mastodon being in any of these pictures didn't cross my mind at all. I'm absolutely not thinking of them at the time, but it completely makes sense. So.
And the band surprisingly showed up in a few of the entries.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Well, because we are, I mean, we talk about music a lot. So
I understand. Seems like a lot of people have the same idea.
And it's for harmonic stuff, so.
Hey. All right, so image number two.
Oh my God, that's good.
Yeah, so image number two. I was cracking up when I first saw this. So I love the proportions of Mastodon, you know, like really great child-rearing hips on this man.
I feel really bad about the prizes I brought. Wait till I get to those.
Yeah, you're going to have to mail those out on your own, since Nick's sending these stuff.
I like this one a lot because it has like a real good like 70s sci-fi movie poster or like oversized magazine vibe. Like something, this could be on the cover of like Famous Monsters of Filmland or something. So,
That's like when we get to episode 400 of the podcast one day, we'll have somebody cosplaying that when we do like a live
audience. I'm going to dress like this at PAX.
That would be fantastic.
If you dress like that at PAX, I'll lose my mind. All right, so entry number three.
Oh, that one's really good too. This is going to be tough. This is going to be hard.
Dude, that's legit. Like,
this is... So wow. Entry number three is really, really good too, but there's something about it that makes me feel really, really dirty.
Dirty, yeah. I think it's because your eyes are immediately attracted to the chest area.
Yes, that might be it.
Man, you guys are fucking perverts.
Also, it's just really cute. You know, there's something really, really cute about this, but I just my brain can't process
it. It's not very Scandinavian though.
It's Mastodon lingerie, no. But it doesn't get the Scandinavian part.
Yeah, it's still really fucking good though.
It's Mastodon from like Southern California.
All right, so entry number four.
Oh my God!
What is
right?
Holy crap, dude! Like, well, this is ridiculous.
Hold on, let Nick speak.
What I love about this one is the pose. There's like one foot up in the back. There's like the one hand, paw, whatever it is, over the mouth tusk area.
Yes.
As if it's just like, it's like saying like, oh, I feel so naughty.
Like, I'll go on record and say number four is my favorite.
I never expected any of this.
I think it's very funny that like that one, and I think it might have been number two, both of them were wearing like the horned helmets.
Yes.
Which I guess is supposed to be tying in the Scandinavian portion, so...
Viking helmet.
Yeah.
All right, number five is more along the lines of probably what we were expecting.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was expecting.
So my notes on this one are this is definitely a Scandinavian Mastodon wearing lingerie, and I know that because it says it right on the picture.
Thank you for writing that in.
I'm sure you know who did that one because he tweeted you on Twitter about it. But that was Colin, one of the Save Continue writers.
It's definitely a picture. Thank you for submitting that.
It is a picture.
Thanks for spending those 30 seconds.
All right, let's go with number six to make you guys feel dirty again.
I'm so... Oh, God.
Yeah, what in the really Christ? Like,
keep going.
It's really weird because it's a Mastodon head on a human woman's body, which is not something we've seen before, which is kind of comforting, makes me feel really uncomfortable. And I think it also might be Ariel from The Little Mermaid wearing a Mastodon head.
Right, because I'm like looking at this hair and like, I don't know, that's, yeah. What is there like a nostril?
Part of our world.
Are there like nostrils on her leg? Like, go back. Like, that was kind of throwing me off.
We don't go back.
No. You look at her kneecaps, and they look like nostrils.
There's no going back.
All right, let's jump. Let's head to number seven.
That's the band again.
My God.
5,000 hours in MS Paint.
This looks actually like a real-life Photoshop. It looks like they printed a picture out of
that. And then just drew one.
Okay, I want to point out.
It's like a patient photo.
I'll tell you guys that is exactly what I did as well.
I want to point out that whoever thought that they were putting a lot of effort into this has no idea how much effort everybody else put into this.
So they just got completely shut down by like the ridiculous
I didn't put a lot of effort into that.
Oh, that was you?
Yes, that was me. Because I needed to have fun with this.
You entered our own contest.
Why the fuck
I think
not?
He enters everything we do.
We needed entries. All right, number eight, once again.
Ooh,
we have
that one hurts me.
The band.
Yeah, but you know what? As far as the we not as high quality as the first couple, this one at least you can tell there was a little bit more effort into it.
We need
even
to,
though it's not a ton, like
we need to tweet the ones of the band to the band.
We really do, actually. And then get sued, but it'll be cool. Like it's
alright, Nick, your thoughts on number eight?
Yeah, so number eight, this is the third picture of the band, which is, or at least part of the band, which has surprised me. And it's also, I think, the most disgusting of the pictures. The little hairs that are on their legs, and I'm like the happy trail thing that's going on over here.
But you know what?
The hair way to heaven.
And that's what makes it great. Like, that's why I like it.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it. It looked... Yeah, this is disgusting. This is grossing me out. I'm going to throw up.
It's authentic.
Okay, so which one, Nick, which one is your champion?
So this is really tough, but I think I'm going to go with the second one.
That's
one that looks like a sci-fi, like, 70s movie, like, pulp magazine vibe, it's, just because, like, that's kind of, like, my jam, and I think that's kind of exactly
so
what
good.
I was thinking of
it's
in
so
my
good.
Head when I had mentioned it. And I don't know why it has a ray gun, but okay.
You know,
why not, right?
so far, I don't know. Did you get any? Do we have any other prize stuff other than what I brought so far?
No, because
no.
Nick was doing the prize for this. I didn't know we were doing anything.
Well, I figured I'd just pull together whatever I could as well.
Why don't we send out the stuff that you brought for like a second place, or like some of what you brought for second place?
Okay, that we'll do second place. Do you have any idea how we're going to do second place? Do we want Nick to do it?
No.
We'll do it, because we'll give out that prize for second place, and Nick's prize will be for first place.
You guys can pick second place, and I think the prize is going to be a pretty massive Rock Band 360 DLC pack. It's a ton of stuff. I sent Joe a massive list.
Yes, I heard about
huge,
that.
Huge list, like 35 packs of Rock Band DLC.
Jesus Christ!
It's
like all
it's
of the Rock Band. There you go. This was kind of amazing. I don't know who drew that, but I love you.
The winner, the winner is John Peters.
Okay, do I know John Peters?
No, he has been to MAGFest for the past few years. He's one of the members of the Lumberjack Lounge and good friends with Pappy, which is how I became friends with him.
Does he like Rock Band?
I would assume so. They went to MAGFest.
Yeah, right?
He's going to MAGFest. I'm pretty sure he's at least semi-interested.
Yeah, dude, if you do... And that's a crazy prize pack, so thank you very much, Nick, for that.
No problem.
But if you don't play that much Rock Band, bro, like, let me know, and I'll try to get you something extra on top of it. Because seriously, the amount of effort in that picture is amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely astounding.
Yeah, that is amazing. And same. I'll look for some more stuff, and maybe, you know, I'll talk to Joe. We've been talking over email. I'll try to find some other cool stuff. Maybe throw some stuff in a box and send it out to you. Because I'm super impressed with the picture. I really liked it. Thanks for submitting it. It was awesome.
Well, some fun info is John also did number four. That's why
he did both.
Similar. He did both.
Oh,
so yeah, he submitted two entries.
He was so inspired.
Wow.
Well, he did two rough sketches, and he decided to go with the standing one to do a
put a little bit more
picture.
Effort.
But I said that I really liked the one on all fours, and that he should still
gross.
Submit that one.
Oh, okay.
Because I love that one.
The other one, the one I want as second prize, second place, is that other one that's really cartoonish.
I want the first one. I really want the first one.
Well, then Joe will be the breaker then.
I'll have to... I like the one with the band more than the cartoonish one. I think they're both awesome.
I like the first one a lot.
If I can come up with anything for the cartoonish one, I'll send that out too. But yeah, so the band one will be the second place one. And your prize is... You get a Games.com console, handheld console from Tiger Electronics.
Jeez, can we go back and I'll enter?
Also, a Nintendo 3DS lanyard, and a Bayonetta poster set that was a pre-order bonus. It has like five or six posters in it from Bayonetta.
And all of which are just really her being a hooker. Yeah.
So that prize package goes to Randall Drew of Arcadia Comics.
I hope you like really slutty Bayonetta posters.
I'm so excited for that.
The fun info is that the cartoony one is Randall's partner, Jesse Derona.
Oh, okay.
So they like... they do comics together, and...
that's fantastic. That's really, really cool.
So anyway, what's new in the world of harmonics? Anything interesting happening up there that you could tell us about, like Rock Band 4?
So we are not announcing another Rock Band game. I've said it again, you guys are maniacs. Calm down.
I can't calm down. It's impossible for me to calm down about Rock Band.
Wait, did you...
but we...
yeah, go on.
Yeah, I mean, we are super busy, you know,
with Rock Band
working
4.
On, like, mid-season stuff. Rock Band 4 in the background. we're doing a lot of, like, Fantasia stuff this month coming up in August. Like, I think I am home for less than 10 days in the month of August. So I'm doing mostly, like, a lot of travel stuff. We're going out to Disney. Has this gigantic fan expo they do called D23 out in Anaheim, and it's like this massive, it's like on, but it's like just for Disney stuff. I've never been to it. They've been telling me that it's insane. So it's like all Disney super fans. And so we're doing like a pretty cool thing there. We're doing like a big thing with like an orchestra and the game, and we're revealing some stuff. And then we will be going to, I think a week after that, we're headed out to Gamescom, where we will be showing off even more new stuff to some people behind closed doors. We'll be spending some time there. We'll be at Microsoft's booth as well, doing demos of the game. And then we come immediately from Gamescom from Germany. We go right to Seattle for PAX. We have like a ton of stuff we're doing there.
Are you going to PAX?
I don't know if any of you guys. Any of you going to be at PAX?
I'm going to PAX.
Okay, cool. So these are all of the things that you need to do if you want to stalk me. So we're going to be doing some game demos, not on the show floor, for a bunch of folks in the press. So if you're interested in checking out the game, seeing some new stuff, hit me up. We actually will have a booth that is not on the floor, but is in the convention center. I don't know if you guys remember a couple years back, or might have been last year, PopCap actually had commandeered like a whole section of floor right where you like come up on the escalator to the main convention center floor, and they were giving out swag. We actually have that this year. We're giving away some limited edition Fantasia stuff. We're giving some limited edition like Harmonix specific swag. We'll be hanging out there. We have some cool ideas, which I don't want to spill right now in case they fall through, but may or may not involve a money tank with DLC codes in it. I didn't say that.
That'd be awesome.
Take some swag for panels. Me.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll get all the swag for you, bud.
We have two panels. We're doing a
Rock Band 4 panel. Harmonic
panel. We're doing a Rock Band 4 harmonics panel. And we're doing a sort of a history of the development of Fantasia, where we're going to be showing off some prototypes of the game,
look
drastically different than what sort of we have now. It's like sort of a peek behind the curtain, stuff that we normally don't get a chance to show people. So you'll see like some of the pitch videos that we put together, which include some like early gameplay prototypes and stuff like that. So that should be pretty cool. And I think we're doing something else, but I forget right now. We're really busy at PAX.
Now, a question about that too.
Fez 2 panel.
Yeah, Fez 2 panel. Harmonix Fez 2 panel. Did you, when you were pitching this game, did you know about the Kinect 2 hardware very much, or were you trying to get this set up on different hardware at the time?
So we originally, the game was, so when we first were pitched by Disney on the game, we were already working on Kinect 1. So this was, I think, right after, like, I think we were still working on Dance Central 3 at the time. So this was before Microsoft had officially given us any hardware for Kinect 2. So we've been working on prototypes and gameplay ideas using the original Kinect. Okay. For concept. Then when we got the new hardware in, we adapted that hardware to the gameplay we had been working on. So the game is coming out on the Xbox 360 and the Xbox One, and the major differences are you're going to see better fidelity in the camera tracking, obviously, in the Xbox One.
Yeah.
But the camera, like, we designed the game to work well on both consoles. We did a bunch of demos early on using the Kinect One and a PC, so the game looked like it'll look on the Xbox One, but used the Xbox 360 Kinect camera. camera, and the game, like, plays great, works fine. You're just going to get, like, better fidelity, like, with the tracking, and you're going to, we're going to have sharing features on the Xbox One, so.
Oh, cool.
Okay. This game doesn't really benefit hugely from the new Kinect technology, but if you have, like, a smaller room, like, the wider field of view will definitely help. Like, when we've been doing demos, you've been getting up pretty close to the camera, and it'll still track your full body, and that's been actually pretty cool.
And I have a really interesting question. I don't know if it's something you can discuss yet. I think we're all knowing that eventually there's going to be DLC coming for Fantasia. With the game being on both platforms, will there be cross-platform DLC? Like, if you originally buy the DLC on the 360 and you later buy an Xbox One and buy Fantasia there, will the DLC carry over?
That's a great question. Nobody's actually asked me that. I don't have confirmation whether or not that'll happen or no. My guess is probably not, because the file formats are going to be different. And they're probably going to have different sort of IDs attached to the DLC, like in Microsoft's backend. But that's actually a really great idea. I mean, that's something that we can look into, but I can't confirm that.
Because I'm wondering if that would be like a cross-buy kind of thing, like what's going on with the PS3 and the Vita, how the DLC carries over there.
Yeah, I think that's more of a question for Microsoft than it would be for us, because I think, like, on the back end, the file formats are probably similar enough that we might be able to make something like that work.
Yeah.
But whether or not Microsoft's marketplace is going to work like that is kind of on them.
Yeah, because that would also bring into the discussion. I saw an interview recently that said that Rock Band for now is done, but it's not dead completely, and it would be something that Harmonix would like to visit again on next-generation consoles, which makes me worry about all the thousands of songs I've bought on the 360 and whether or not those would carry over to a next-gen version of the game were it to come out.
Right. I mean, yeah, I mean, that's a valid concern to have, but, you know, I think, you know, Alex Rogopoulos has said it before, like, it's obviously something we built Rock Band to be a platform where people would purchase something and be able to play it, like, from one game to the next. And obviously, you know, if we were to work on another Rock Band title, we would be interested in people being able to keep those licenses and those songs as they move forward. But, you know, there are certain limitations. There might be limitations in terms of, like, hardware or, like, software on the back end for all the platforms that we can't overcome. But we're not even discussing it right now, so we don't have any real plans.
I have spent a stupid amount of money on Rock Band.
On Nickelback songs.
obscene amount of money on Rock Band.
Did he ever tell you what happened involving Rock Band and Nickelback? Nick?
No.
Tell him the story. You'll laugh.
MAGFest last year, I have two 360 consoles. So I copied all of my Rock Band songs over to a second console, and the one that all the licensors are stored on, I put in the game room down at MAGFest so that they could play Rock Band with my 2,800 songs or whatever it was at MAGFest. And then the other console we put up in our hotel room, which is why I've tried hitting you up for stuff to give out in our room, and I had that console connected online so that it could register all the licenses. A couple of times while we were playing, we would get disconnected. And I was really, really annoyed because I told them in the game room to keep my system offline. I deleted the hotel's internet settings and everything so that they wouldn't connect it online and boot us off. A few times, I went down there and figured out that they were connecting online with it, and I disconnected it. I deleted the internet settings again, and I reminded them, hey, keep my system online because we're also playing up in my room. MAGFest ends, I hook my system up, some motherfucker bought every fucking Nickelback song. And they didn't play a single one.
A good troll.
That's a solid troll.
That is a fantastic troll.
Like, they spent my money on shit I didn't want. And the worst part is, I have this mentality of, I have the space on my hard drive, I'm not at the song maximum limit yet, so I can't in good faith delete anything. Because that's stuff I paid for.
So they're willingly or unwillingly.
So I have every fucking Nickelback song in Rock Band on my hard drive.
Those are really, really good tracks, and we here at Harmonix are proud and very excited to have a popular band like Nickelback available for download from Rock Band Music Store.
That was the best PR statement I have ever heard in my life.
Did I sound sincere?
That was fantastic.
That was good.
You are very good at your job.
So. I would take that clip and then like just give that to every single one of your bosses and be like, look, I'm doing a good job,
man. No, what we gotta do is we gotta take that clip out, put it on a t-shirt with the mastodon that won the prize, put like the quote, and then beneath the quote put Nickelback Rock Band DLC 10 out of 10 savecontinue.com.
Yep. That'll be the text on the back with the mastodon on the front.
Perfect.
Be a direct quote from Nick Chester.
Oh, perfect. Man.
Confirmed.
And if we make those, we'll be sure to send one out to you.
That'd be amazing.
Thank goodness you didn't go the Phil Fish route with any comments here. Rock Band 4 would get canceled. How about that? That's pretty much the big news of the week for me, at least, is. Because I've got a lot of mixed feelings about that, but how do you feel about Phil Fish's explosion? I mean, if you want to talk about it, because I know that's sort of a testy subject when you work for a company.
You said testy.
Yeah, I mean, it might be. You might not be able to really comment too much on actual personal feelings with things like that, but.
I don't know. I mean, I will say that, like, I. Personally, I did not love Fez, but I did not love Fez because it wasn't a well-made game. I thought it did a lot of really, really interesting things.
Yeah.
I love the music. I liked the game quite a bit. It just wasn't for me. It never really clicked for me. So that said, I think I was kind of interested in seeing what Fez 2 was going to be, and I think Fish is a really, really talented guy.
I think definitely.
He has really great ideas. I really appreciate the fact that he's as outspoken as he is. And I sort of see where he's coming from. It's easy to like just call him like sensitive and crazy, and he just needs to like get his act together. But you know, he's a human being, and I sort of see why he'd be frustrated and sort of throw his hands up in the air and like back away. That said, the other half of me is like, hey, dude, like you're an adult, like pull your shit together and keep working something you're passionate about. I think he's probably gonna end up coming back and finishing Fez 2. I guess he's working on ports of Fez right now, so I don't think he's left the game industry completely. It seems like he's too passionate of a guy to sort of just like up and leave. It does feel a little bit sort of like immature that he would throw his hands up so publicly and sort of stop off and take his toys. And I know he said it wasn't just because of one thing that somebody said. It was like sort of like a compound effect of like a big catamaran of like negativity that sort of like put
that is a great reference.
Now we make a t-shirt of a catamaran of negativity.
I mean, the internet is a catamaran of negativity sometimes, and it's like super like kind of depressing to watch it, you know. It's just like people get down on everybody, like not just creators or just, you know, gamers in general. They get down on each other. Like there's just I don't know. It can't, like, if you're not the kind of person who has like a thick skin and can deal with that kind of stuff, then it's going to be hard to be in the spotlight. Whether or not he likes it or not, he is somebody who's in the spotlight for a whole bunch of different reasons. I mean, A, he had a successful game, and B, he's just like an outspoken guy, and of course people are going to want to listen to what he's saying, even if sometimes it's a little bit crazy, and then maybe they want to listen to it more because it sounds so crazy.
Definitely.
I think the whole situation is unfortunate. I think like the way the person he was reacting to, I don't know Fish very well. I've met him a couple of times, but I have people who've spent like a bunch of time with him, and I actually know Marcus Beer actually pretty well, who made the comments that sort of sparked this whole thing.
Yeah.
And so Marcus is a pretty abrasive guy, and he said some pretty abrasive things on the show. I don't remember what the exact wording of it was, but I think like that is part of just like sort of like who he is and sort of what he does. Like it's kind of his thing to sort of like get people riled
up. That's his character. That's his personality.
Right, that's kind of like
show.
A character. Like, and he does a great show because that's sort of like his character. And and he doesn't believe some of that stuff. He just really kind of like plays it up. And so like I don't fault him for I'm not mad at Marcus for making those comments, and I don't think that journalists and commentators shouldn't be able to make those kind of comments, and I think, like, Marcus backed that a little bit and was like, hey, dude, we should talk, like,
let's talk at PAX.
Like, hey, man, like, let's talk at PAX. Let's, like, do a thing. Like, give me your side of the story. Like, that's sort of what I'm here.
And then Phil Fish was like, go kill yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And apparently it's a reference to Futurama or something like that, but it didn't, in the context of everything, it didn't really come out very, very... I don't know. I think everybody was sort of like just getting way too negative and way too hostile in that entire exchange. And I don't think there's any one person to blame. But I do wish everybody would sort of stop being such nasty assholes on the internet all the time.
Yeah. Well, I actually went and watched, you're familiar with Indie Game,
stop
the movie?
Being nasty assholes.
Yeah.
They just released a DLC pack, which is basically like epilogues and extras talking with a few other developers. And in it, they've got some more stuff with Phil Fish, and you get to see a little bit better of a side of him, which I thought was necessary, because, I mean, that movie doesn't paint him in a very great light either.
No, in the standard Indie Game, the movie, he just painted out to be a gigantic shithead.
Yeah.
And this was before he had all the fame on him.
Well, I tried to look at it from his perspective, too. I mean... He was going through, spending 5 years making a game.
Yeah.
And his partner getting frustrated. And fucked him over. And it's like, on his end, I can kind of see where he's coming from. I think that he tipped over the edge a few too many times.
Yeah.
But I definitely feel like the gratification that he's gotten from getting the game done, getting awards, making a shit ton of money off of it, is well deserved. I don't think that after the fact he should tell somebody to choke on his dick, but... I mean, that's...
And enjoy it.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's...
Yeah, it's one thing to do it and not enjoy it.
Yeah. I think that anybody who's interested in this this aspect of what's happening in the industry of, you know, whether or not, you know, somebody in the industry has the right to go out and say these things and defend themselves to this level should watch some of those extras on there, because it goes into Edmund from Team Meat. And, and his partner, and talking about how people reacted to them after they released the game. And Edmund seems like a really sweet guy. And you wouldn't believe, like, how people were going out of their way just to screw with these guys who made a great game. And they made tools for free for people to mod the game. And, like, somebody went back and hacked it. And then took the conversation they had with them and, like, edited it. And put it on Reddit to make it look like they were, like, evil jerkwads. And it's really wild what people will do. It's just really fucked up. But I recommend to anybody to watch those interviews and stuff just to kind of get a better picture of what some of these developers, these indie developers, have gone through on a realistic
end. I want to check out that extra stuff that was released.
It's very good.
Well, even how you were saying, like, that's in really any industry. You're always going to have those kind of people that are just, like, that feel, I don't want to say, like, entitled, but just, like, you know, if someone else has something nice that they don't have and that level of jealousy, they're going to be like, I'm going to try and do everything I can to bump that guy down a couple pegs.
Yeah.
Like, that just happens in the world itself.
They talk
and it
about
just kind
that.
Of blows, but...
They talk about that in the interviews too. How the one guy from Team Meat says, you know what? Like, they pull up a video of a baby laughing on YouTube, and it's got like 19 million views and 5 dislikes. And it's like, no matter what, there's going to be some asshole out there who, no matter how joyous the thing that they're looking at is, they're just going to hate it because they're assholes.
And that's why Rock Band canceled DLC.
Oh, come on. Bringing it full circle, being an ass.
Yeah. It's really tough not to react to that kind of stuff, especially as a creator of something. You know, like you do something so like that you think is great, or you put a lot of passion into it, and of course somebody's gonna come along and like just take a dump on it.
Yeah,
and it's like it's hard for you not to want to like lash out or react or try to convince that person that they're wrong, or sort of like, you know, get into this negative cycle of like back and forth, like vitriol. And like most, I think indie developers don't have the same sort of like muzzle or wall of protection between them and the public that developers on AAA titles make.
Yeah, they have corporate.
Like 200 plus people working on Call of Duty, but there's only like, you know, there's all the PR people and, you know, Dan Emmerich and marketing guys like between them. So like most of them are faceless, and so most of them don't have the opportunity to get out there and sort of like yell at somebody. Like, if somebody's like, oh, Call of Duty is just the same bullshit rehashed over. There's, like, a creative guy somewhere who's just, like, just stewing. He's like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, we've worked so hard on this, this, and this, and this. And they want to be, of course they want to get in the comments and just, like, you know, yeah. debunk every somebody is saying. And, you know, like, with people like Phil Fish, it's like, it's just him. Like, he doesn't have a PR guy, as far as I know. It's like the Phil Fish.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he doesn't.
yeah, obviously he doesn't. But it's like him and, like, a couple of other guys. So there's no protection between him and the rest of the world. I mean, he's just going to sort of, like, lash out, say whatever he wants. And, like, usually there's somebody somewhere who is, like, who you know, like a third party who's saying, like, hey, dude, like, I know you're passionate about this, I know you're upset, but you need to reel it in, and he doesn't have that.
Yeah, yeah. I really wish that, I'd love to see him with a PR guy. Like, Phil Fish says to the PR guy, tell him to go suck on my dick and choke on it, and the PR guy goes on Twitter and goes, Phil Fish respectfully, you know, disapproves of your message.
Nick, I think you should hire Phil Fish as your assistant PR guy. It's like, oh, you fuckers want more Rock Band DLC? Eat my dick hole!
and then you can teach him what to actually say.
Absolutely.
Good. It's you know, it's people helping people. You know, we're just trying to set up, you know, a good network of people to try and help each other.
That's why we're here. A new job at Harmonix.
Oh, no.
Trying to make the world a better place.
Maybe he
My
needs
asshole
music.
Fantasia
music
is canceled.
Oh, God. All right, man. We're about at the mark for you. Do you want us to let you go?
I should probably get back to all of the works.
Do you have any parting words?
Words of wisdom.
No, I don't know. I guess if you're a PAX, or you happen to be a Gamescom, or you happen to be a D23, come find me and give me a high five. Like,
definitely.
I don't know. I give good high five.
I should be at PAX as of now, so I will. I'll definitely try to bump up with you.
Gross.
Mention SML Podcast and Nick Chester will give you $100.
Don't worry, it won't happen. Your money is safe.
Oh, man. All right, man. Thank you for coming on the show.
We appreciate your time. Right. It is always great to have you, and we hope you join us again sometime in the future.
Absolutely. I'd love to. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, see ya.
Boop. We'll have him on at 30, and then 35, and then 40.
Every five.
Well, I think we should do it.
Or 29, 34.
All right, 39. So
I think now, we should do a music power podcast and get Kunal on and some other band people.
So now,
and him.
So now that our professionalism is out of the way,
now it's salad
crunch,
munching.
Crunchcast, Crunchcast no. version 3.0.
I'm sure
the
we
salad
already
cast.
Have.
Crisp, no, it's
got
to be crisp cast
crisp,
because you got
crisp
that
cast.
Crisp.
Yeah,
because
it's
lettuce.
It's not as crunchy as chips, but hopefully the lettuce will have some sort of freshness to it. I'm not gonna hold my breath, but
I got some pretzel sticks if you want to make this a real crunch.
No, I'm good.
So on the whole Phil Fish thing, before we completely get off that, is
I'm
cool with that.
I'm gonna get off on it.
Gross.
Has anyone heard from Jonathan Blow in all this? Because he was also mentioned by Marcus Beer. Is that his
no,
name?
No, I haven't heard anything about Jonathan
because
Blow.
Because if Jonathan Blow isn't saying anything, that's how you handle this shit!
Well, like, you know what? I feel like, and as weird as this is, from what I know about it, I feel like Phil Fish is almost in the right for this argument. Because what the guy was arguing, or was calling the two of them out for, was not commenting on the Xbox's policies. Now, they may have wryly not commented on it, like, we don't want to talk about the Xbox,
yeah.
You know, like, because, and somebody could infer, like, well, that's because they got, you know, he got burned on Xbox, and, but they didn't comment on it. They came back and said, Phil Fish came out and said, well, we didn't comment on it because we don't know what the fuck they're doing yet. And it's like, that's a really good point. And that's when Marcus Beer, or whatever his name is, should have came out and been like, that's a really good point. You know, my bad. And he could have still said, well, you're still an asshole, Phil Fish, you know, or something like that. But
it takes two to tango. So just because one guy's in the wrong doesn't give the other guy permission to also be heavily in the wrong and act like a child.
Yeah, and it's a tough situation, and I feel like both people are doing stupid shit, and that sucks, because, I mean, now we're probably not going to get an excellent game.
I mean, I know Kyle and the rest of us at Save Continue pretty much agreed that we're not going to cover from a news standpoint Fez being canceled, because if he wants to act like a child, take his ball and go home, let him. He's doing this for attention. We're not going to give it to him.
See, I wanted to talk about...
Yeah, but is he really doing it for... is he strictly doing it for attention?
I think he is.
Just from an integrity standpoint where he believes... I mean, you're not going to make those comments unless you truly believe that you're in the right. So if he's just trying to stand up for what he believes, he's just trying to stand up for what he believes.
I think he's at that point where he became... Everybody told him he wasn't going to do it, and he became successful, and now he's like... He feels like... He deserves respect, and people aren't giving it to him, especially people in the industry, the games industry, the games media, are all pissing on him all the time.
He doesn't give respect out.
He doesn't, and that's the problem, is that because he feels that way, he lashes out, and him lashing out gets him more negative criticism, which causes him to lash out more. It's a vicious cycle. And
if he can't put that two and two together... Sucks to be him. Yeah. There's no reason even just dwelling on it and just covering it, because there's really nothing to cover. Hey, this guy has a really terrible personality disorder. That sucks.
Like, I thought it would make an interesting article, though, if we did write something about how people, game developers, are perceived in the games media. Because we see stuff like this happen fairly regularly about people talking, you know, saying good or bad things about ex-developer, you know, like, people make fun of Peter Molyneux for never coming through with his promises, you know, people ask Gabe, where's my game, you know, where's Half-Life 3, I mean, there's all these developers, Cliffy B, you know, David Jaffe, like, people that, when they talk, sometimes, depending on what they say, it's a news story, you know, because they were big, they made big games. Now, it's almost like, why do we care? You know, why do we care what they're saying? Why, you know, we should just worry about are they making games?
Yeah.
Like, is what they're saying related to a game? Like, I don't care what your opinion is, so long as you're making me a good game. You know, like, you have no... I'm interested in their opinions sometimes, just to be curious about, like,
how it's going to affect the game.
Yeah, how they draw their conclusions for game design and whatnot. And how they, you know, how they might come up with some of these innovative ideas, but like,
yeah, it's not like you're purposely buying a game most of the time. You know, it's not like you're purposely buying a game because like, oh well, you know, this guy developed it, and me and him are like real tight, so I'm just gonna buy it.
I've done that with developers who never say anything,
right,
all the time.
It's also because you respect their work. I'm saying, how many times do you really go out of your way to just be like, yeah, that guy was the lead developer, and he's my bro, so I'm gonna pick this up. Exactly.
No,
indie, sure, but it might be, you know, someone that you might personally have contact with. Aside from that, you know,
there's definitely stuff like when you and I started playing Shadows of the Damned, it was like, we looked at the pedigree of the game. It's Suda51. It's the guy who did
Shinji Mikami.
Yeah, Shinji Mikami. The guy who designed Resident Evil and the audio director for Silent Hill. Like, there was pedigree to that game. So I looked at that game
You're looking at the previous works. I'm talking from a personal standpoint. Take all of the things out of what they had done technically, as far as a job is concerned. Mm-hmm. Have you ever picked up a game because you're like, that guy's nice, I like how he speaks, I think he has a good...
Yes.
Okay, so that's what I'm trying to get at.
Miyamoto. Miyamoto is the nicest man in the world. He comes out and is like, we're going to make a fun game. Here's your fun game. But he does it all cutesy in Japanese. He's like, I have a Pikmin, I'm going to throw it out to the crowd. Gunpoint? Oh, yeah, yeah. He's a fantastic guy, and he was a reviewer for 9 years. Tom Francis. And he was a reviewer for PC Gamer for 9 years, and then decided, I'm going to quit my job, make a game. And really cool guy, and he just made this great fucking game.
Like, I want to pick that game up,
that
just
game is fantastic,
because of how fucking funny he is.
Dude, the stuff in that game,
his,
like, I was showing
Steam sale comment alone.
Oh, like, yeah.
What the hell did he say again?
It was so we didn't win the Steam vote for like the
summer sale.
Yeah, so during the summer sale they have flash sales every 8 hours or whatever, and you can vote on on what the next game is, and one of the options to vote on it was Gunpoint. And then as soon as it didn't win the vote, he's like, so we didn't win the vote, but fuck it, this is a dictatorship. It's like 40% off for the rest of the sale anyway. Like, he just put it on sale regardless.
He's like any good dictator, I ignored what everyone else does,
yeah. Like, that's funny shit. He's a funny guy. And like,
that alone makes me want to get the game when I ever in my life get Steam credit.
The trailer for that game. So four years.
Yeah. I enjoyed that game a lot. I thought it was, it was interesting. It was different. There was some real, I mean, like, there was some stuff that you could technically reference to other games. But I think just the way that it was put together, like, the stylization of everything, it was good. It was just, you know, it's everything that you could possibly want in a game. There's humor. There's, I like puzzle implementation in certain things.
And it's puzzles that didn't make you feel like you were an idiot.
Right.
Like, if you sat there and looked at it, if you were stumped, you looked at it for a few minutes, like, you figured it out. And even if you, like, were struggling with it a bit, you would still know it's there. You're like, I know the answer's right in front of me. I just gotta figure it out. And then after, like, a few minutes of trial and error, you're like, you're good. And then once you figure it out, the game's difficulty progressively arcs up in a very reasonable way. And it's just a fantastic
free. Well, see, and that's the thing, too. It's the whole Eureka factor. Like, there's a lot of games.
Yeah.
There's a lot of games that don't have that Eureka factor anymore. And it's funny, for us, our Eureka factor, I can't even fucking say it. Yesterday was that we found out that there's one of the continents on Planetside doesn't have the lattice system.
Oh yeah.
So guess what continent we're going to be on forever now until they fail.
Yeah, there's no restriction on what area you have to go to capture a territory. Whereas the other continents, you have to go on like a certain different pathways. So we found out one of the continents didn't have it, which I don't know if they removed it or not, because there was one.
All I know is we're going to be there all the time.
We got there and we rolled the whole continent. We went and capped. I had hacks on, I think, five different facilities at a time.
A two-man team took out probably half the continent.
Jesus,
it was
Christ.
It was so fun. But, I don't know where we're going with this.
I don't know either.
Well, speaking of the Steam sale,
so Phil Fish is an asshole.
Yeah, so Phil Fish.
Speaking of the Steam sale, we didn't get to cover the Steam sale after it closed up. Obviously, the Steam sale is very, very interesting to us PC guys.
Well, let's ignore that. There's other stuff that's already done.
I just wanted to see if there was anything that you picked up. Did you pick up anything?
I picked up East 1 and 2, which I've wanted to play for a long, long time. They're old school RPGs with a really interesting mechanic.
It's been re-released on, like, everything.
But the fighting mechanic in it is you don't walk up and swing your sword.
You just
There's no
bump
turn
into them.
Yeah, you're sprites, and you have to walk and bump into them. And then it's like...
So you literally fuck the enemy to death.
And
awesome!
What's funny is, like, you'll kind of, like, hit them, and you'll be like, ting, 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 ting. And depending on the angle you bump into them at, depends on whether or not they get a chance to counterattack you and stuff.
Oh, God.
It's really fun.
It's really funny.
It's old.
Did you buy anything else? I know I bought you Torchlight 2.
Yes, we played that a little bit, and I made my alpaca pet in the game named Chris Hubber.
Yep.
I have a picture of him.
Yeah.
I will show Joe.
It was rather funny. I believe my character has a ferret.
Drug addiction.
Yeah. That too, actually. No, I picked that up.
That looks like
like an alpaca. Not
looks
me.
Like you.
No, I bought
the same dirty
I bought a four
look
pack.
On its face.
I bought a four pack of Torchlight for like $15, which is fucking awesome.
That is ridiculous.
So I threw one his way. I grabbed one and then I gave one to my brother-in-law and his girlfriend. I bought Super Street Fighter 4 with like every DLC, which. They announced Ultra, which
is funny because we used to make jokes about this.
Ultra Mega.
They did Street Fighter 4, then they did Super Street Fighter 4, then they did Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition.
And then Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition version 2012.
Yeah, version 20 or 2013 or whatever.
That was 2012.
One of the two.
2012.
And now they're doing Ultra Street Fighter 4, which if you want to actually go online, it's Ultra Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition 2013.
2014.
Or, yeah, whatever. And it's like ridiculous that joke that we used to make about that they're going to do.
It's so true.
That they're going to, because now, like, you could call it Ultra. They have one more thing they could do, which is Ultra Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition Tournament Version or something like that.
HD Remix.
HD Remix. Like, they could. Well, it's just so
how do you
brutal.
HD Remix? I don't know. Like, that game is
they'll
very beautiful.
They'll find a way
so.
To HD Remix that game.
No, they'll just put
more particle effects.
No, it'll be Mega. Because it was Mega Ultra Super
Turbo.
Turbo.
You
there
need
you go.
Turbo.
Dude, that game's fast. I don't know.
Don't forget the Super Nintendo. They pulled the same shit, and then when Street Fighter 4 came out, they were like, "Yeah, we're not going to pull the same shit."
And then they pulled the same shit.
And then the next version came out, and they're like, "Yeah, that's it. We're not going to keep milking our customers."
In its
and then
defense,
they kept milking the customers.
In its defense, if you have vanilla Street Fighter 4, you can get Ultra for $15 as a DLC pack, which is kind of nice.
Right. If you have vanilla Super Street Fighter 4.
Oh, you have to have Super?
You have to have Super.
Yeah, because the original Street Fighter 4 isn't compatible at all with Super onward.
Well, right, because even if you just look at the
ridiculousness.
The roster.
You're a roster.
I was very upset that yesterday I'm sitting down and I'm playing Super Street Fighter 4, which, by the way, fuck with Games for Windows.
Yeah, Games for Windows is a joke.
That was the first game that I ever bought that I had to use Games for Windows, and man, is it the dumbest fucking thing in the universe. For whatever reason, when I went to log into Games for Windows, I used the same login that I had for my Xbox 360 when I actually played it online. For whatever reason, when I went to go and log into their servers, it wouldn't connect me to their servers. I had to do port forwarding, and then I do all the port forwarding and stuff like that. It still didn't work. What ended up happening was there's a driver, and this is that fucking laptop. Fuck MSI. I will say it every single time my laptop is
well,
brought
so,
up.
Well, so everybody knows what we're talking about, too. Back when Halo 2 came out, they did port it to the PC. You had to use Windows Vista, and you had to use games for Windows Live. This was around the time they remodeled this. They tried to make, basically, something like an Xbox Live platform on the PC, and which is a good idea. I've been saying they should do something like that for ages now, so that you could have, like, Xbox games on the PC.
Big picture.
However, it's so horrendously implemented. Like, basically you get in the game, and then this overlay, like, pops over. And it never fucking works. You can never connect. It's like, imagine trying to connect, like, you try to get online in a game, and it just, like, it tries to connect to Xbox Live, and it's like, nope, sorry. And then, like, you do it again, it's like, eh, nope, sorry.
So it's like any older EA game.
Yeah, and then you do it again, and inexplicably it works, and you're like, all right, sweet. But, like, it just, you have to retry it over and over again. Like, the servers or something are just bad.
I think it's the ping to the servers.
Yeah, and Dark Souls uses it, which is just the only game I play that uses it. It's just very odd.
Yeah, and that Street Fighter was the first one for me. But I picked that up. And then I also, I got
that was the Dark Souls reference for this.
You're welcome. But also, I picked up Castle Crashers.
Oh, Castle Crashers is mad fun.
So I've never played through it. So what I'm probably going to do is I'm going to sit and I'm going to try and roll through that as much as I possibly can. And I'll let you know next episode what I think of it. But I'm pretty sure I'm going to enjoy it.
As of last night, I am going to PAX. Somebody has a ticket they were selling, so I picked that up, and I just got to get out there now. But I'm going to try to pick up mad swag, and since Harmonix is giving out swag, I'll get you a bag of swag. I'll get you nothing.
Fuck you.
Yeah, get me everything.
Well, I figured if Nick's going to be there, I'm sure he can hook me up with, like, a bag of one of, like, everything cool for you.
A bag of dicks.
I'm gonna go, like, I'm going to be Swag Hunter extraordinaire.
Swag Hunter. That sounds like you would be some sort of pop singer.
I am a pop singer. You're right. So,
what are you playing lately?
Swag Hunter.
Hey, still a lot of PlanetSide.
Super Swag Hunter 3D.
Still mostly a lot of PlanetSide, just because it's an MMO, so it's, you know, something persistent that I can log into or play. And in my spare time, I thought there was something else I was doing.
Prototypes for your game.
Oh, well, yeah, I've been we're in the prototype phase at Sword Tech right now. We've been for a little bit, but it's at the point now where we have a really solid, like, playable prototype going. And the next build that's going to come out tomorrow morning is going to be phenomenal. Like, it's going to be really, really nice. And that's been most of my time, like, every day I have to spend a few hours, like, kind of looking at things and writing things down. making phone calls, talking to Kunal, talking to Len, talking to our coder Alex, and also known as A Rival.
A Rival.
Yum. So like it's just been super hectic, but the game's coming along and it feels really good. Like I'll let Joe play it real quick, see if you can give me the feedback.
Super ultra.
I mean, it's still a little awkward, but I mean.
Super ultra mega alpha.
Oh, and all the time we're on like a Skype call, and the music will start playing in the background because like Alex starts testing it, and it's really loud, and he's like, "That's Kunal's music." But it's so funny. He's like, sorry. And it happens like every call. But. Yeah, I want to get the guys up here to do something to talk about Sword Tech and what's going on with that in the game.
I think it'd be cool for our listeners that are really kind of out of the loop as far as like a lot of the processes go.
Well, we're gonna start. I'm gonna get back into once I get moved out and everything settled. I'm gonna start focusing back on doing blog stuff for that, and we're gonna try to do like a dev team story, or dev
like
stories.
those weekly hex updates that I'm supposed to get that I don't.
Why don't you get the updates?
I get the updates every once in a while, but they're not weekly.
No, they're not weekly, but it's because they're probably doing mega shit. Oh, I hope they're packs. Boom.
Boom. My head just exploded.
I'm walking.
Did you talk to the table?
No.
How'd you get outside?
Oh, well, I hit the table thing in it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you weren't supposed to talk to the table. This is something we're pulling out. That's That was just something for us to, like, skip all of the dialogue. Mm. It was just something we put in. But that's really funny that happened because one of the developers did that at an investor. Or one of the investors did that at an investor meeting with Kunal. And we didn't know it was in there because it was a fresh build. And we didn't know that he had changed what the talk to the coffee table thing did. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the funny things that happens in development is that was like a debug thing for us.
Yeah,
and we give it to somebody to test out, and they're walking around talking to everything. They talk to the table, and it warps them out into the middle of the city. And they're like, "What? Yo, what was that?" Kunal didn't know, so we thought it was a bug.
No battery.
So we thought it was a bug, and he tells the guy, "He's like, oh, I'm sorry, that must be a bug." And it's like, "No, don't say that to the investors, no." But we had to remove that in the next build. But the next build, like, we're adding like 40 different sprites, like a sprite for when he When the game opens up, he's sleeping on the couch, so we're putting that in. When you walk around, he, like, finds his gun and tucks it into his thing. He takes a coffee and drinks from it.
No. Like, animations for actions instead of just,
Yeah, instead of just, like, a text box saying, you got the gun, you'll see it. It'll be like, you got the gun, and he'll take it and put it in his coat. Like, all these little touches, I think, are going to make the game look really, really nice. And the graphics are pretty neat right now. Like, it's got its distinct little feel. It feels really good to play.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited to get this game rolling more, because I think a lot of people are going to really like it, especially if they like older style RPGs.
I would make the text selection boxes a little bigger.
We're going to actually redo a lot of the text. We actually had them way too big, and we scaled them back, and now we're going to actually position them differently depending on who's talking. And then down the road, we're going to try to make it so that they are hopefully attached to characters so that they don't, like, get...
There's no overlap.
There's no overlap, and it's clear on who's speaking. It'll feel more natural, and right. It'll be easier to read and whatnot. We're going to redo, like, all of that, but since we're in the prototype, it's difficult to do because we have to build, like, whole new systems.
Yeah. Also, faster text. Like, if I tap it, it should just show all of it.
Well, we talked about that, too. But right now, if you tap and hold, it'll speed the text up.
It's still slow to me.
Yeah, we're actually when I get home, I'm cutting out a bunch of the dialogue so it's quicker. So the game goes quicker.
Quacker.
So it's quacker. Anyway, but yeah, indie game development, man, is very similar to when I was working on my web series.
I still like how when I walk behind a truck, my sprite is still in front of it.
Well, yeah, that's the layering stuff. We just put the city in, and we have a guy working on that right
I'll
now.
I'll just pretend I'm on the truck.
Right? How did you get on top of that truck without jumping?
I fucking have.
There's a guy at a newsstand. You gotta go talk to him.
I think he's Southwest.
Funny. Yeah, like Southwest. But, you sit down and you want to make a game. You come up with an idea for a game, and you start coding it and whatnot. But, like, with the sprites, for instance, so we had, like, this whole storyline laid out for the prototype, and we make a list of the sprites we think we need, and then we realize, like, oh, man, so he's sleeping, we'd have a sleeping sprite. He's walking, we'd have eight-directional walking. So we had eight-directional walking, and then we realized, wait a minute, if we have him stop moving and he's walking southwest, it looks like he's still in the middle of the walking animation.
Right.
So we had to make another sprite of him standing, but facing that direction. You know, drinking the coffee, taking the gun. We even made a few extra sprites on accident, like of one of the characters sitting down, which we could use in the future because he's going to be a reoccurring character. But we made this extra sprite of him sitting down because we thought this guy comes in to talk to you at your office. Without realizing in the story, he refuses to sit. Like, there's so many different things that it's very difficult to sort of keep track of all of them. Like, especially since we don't have an office right now, we're working all online. It's like, you know, we kind of set it up like, oh, you know, here's a script. You're the guy who's doing the creative direction. You talk to the sprite guy and guide him with that, with the sprites. And then they went off and made all these sprites, and they're fantastic. Like, the art for it's fantastic. And it's just, like, such a huge amount of work that they did. Like, we had to pay our sprite guy a crap ton of money. But his work is phenomenal. Shane, if you're listening, which I know you're not, your work is phenomenal.
Which I know you're not.
But I know you're not.
I know you're
I hope you're not expecting me to be partaking in any of this conversation.
No, he's...
Because I haven't listened to a single word you guys
have been
saying.
He's so into the game. Look at that, Kunal. We have a hit.
No, I can't.
10 out of 10, save, continue, die.
I can't focus on multiple things. I talked to the new... This needs to be a little more, like, direct in what you have to do.
Well, yeah, we don't even have the rest of the game programmed into that. It's literally, like, walk around the city right now, just do nothing.
Yeah.
Stand
under a mailbox.
You're standing under a mailbox. Thank you for calling out all of the flaws that we already know. But no, it's very difficult, but I'll tell you what.
You have a shitload of Skype messages.
Working on this game.
Oh my god, what is it?
It's because...
241?
Because it runs on my phone, even though, like, I'll be talking to somebody on my computer, and it will send them to my phone.
Yeah, no, Facebook messages happen like that.
And I miss messages all the time, because sometimes they'll come to my phone and not my computer, and vice versa.
Right.
And it's a huge pain in the ass.
Yeah, I hate that.
Fun.
But working on a game has been the most rewarding thing I've ever done in my life. Like, you get to sit down, and you get to do creative things with a group of people who are all like-minded. And, like, the team that I work with is phenomenal. It's absolutely, like... It's just mind-boggling how interesting it is, and how much I've learned doing it. So if anybody out there wants to make a game who's listening, just try it. Start trying to get people together and do it.
Just don't act like Phil Fish.
Don't tell people to choke on your dick after you win an award.
And enjoy it.
And enjoy it. Yeah, that's the thing. Everybody keeps forgetting about that.
No, I don't think
you tell people to choke on your dick.
He didn't tell them to like it. That is incorrect. The tweet was, I just won the grand prize at IGF. Suck on my dick. Choke on it. That was the whole tweet. I
that's awful. The other
night. Yeah, it's awful. That was an awful.
Any reader mail, or was it all just submissions Scandinavian Mastodon?
Or I could talk about what I've been playing recently.
What have you been playing?
Motherfucking Earthbound.
Oh yeah.
I'm so mad we didn't record last week because Earthbound came out. Finally, Earthbound is out on the Wii U Virtual Console. No longer do you have to go onto eBay and pay $200 or more just for a cart to plug it in a Super Nintendo and play it. Now you can play it on your Wii U. And if someone's watching TV,
Wii. You
could play it on the Wii U gamepad.
And apparently it's doing well enough that there's a lot of talk of them bringing Mother 3 now.
Which would be amazing. The only game on the sales chart that's beating it is Donkey Kong because it's 30 cents.
I still wouldn't buy it because that's 30 cents that I have to cough up.
If I had a Wii U, I'd buy Earthbound.
It's $10. If you own a Wii U and you haven't bought Earthbound yet, fuck you. You're part of the problem.
Yeah, no, seriously.
I think my bass player hasn't bought it yet, but I'm sure he will.
Kick his ass.
Fuck
him up.
It's an important RPG in the history of RPGs.
And it's getting, like, mainstream coverage now, too.
Yeah.
Like, newspapers are covering Earthbound.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Which is fantastic. It's like this game is finally getting its due.
it's an
years after the fact.
Yeah, it's an important precedent because it kind of shows that people want these types of RPGs, and it's a huge deal. If you give it to us, we will buy it. Like, what's happened recently with, what was that other game? That Xenoblade Chronicles that everybody wanted?
Yeah, Xenoblade Chronicles.
And it came over, and now it's, like, impossible to get. That's, like...
Yeah, it goes for like $100 online.
It's like a new age Earthbound, almost. Not as funny as Earthbound, but...
No.
Earthbound is, like, hysterical.
It's easily the best RPG on the Wii. Mm-hmm. Xenoblade Chronicles. It's
the stuff they showed for, like, the sequel to that on the E3 Nintendo Direct.
Yeah.
That game looked... I was like, what is this
game?
Yeah,
that looked ill.
It looked like an open world.
We don't even
know
if that's a sequel or just its own standalone.
They said it was like a spiritual Surrector.
Because
Surrector? What the hell is a Surrector?
I don't know.
Successor. Spiritual successor.
Spiritual.
My words are just.
Rectum?
Spiritual
rectum.
Yes. We've had Xenogears, Xenosaga, and Xenoblade. So
Xena the Warrior Princess.
Yeah, Xena the Warrior.
Xeno the Warrior. Oh my god.
And Genome. And.
Genome the Warrior Princess.
Have either of you guys ever played Earthbound?
No.
I played it when I was very young and was not able to appreciate it because I was too young at the time. And that I was coming off of playing all the Final Fantasy games, and playing that at the time, like, it just felt clunky to me, and I was too used to the other style of RPG.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nah, I'm just not into this right now. But now I look at it and I'm like, I really want to play this game. This game looks awesome. Because now I know better, basically.
I particularly want to pick up a Wii U and get Earthbound primarily to have Jordan play it. Because she is all about that style of RPG. Like, that's pretty much all she wants to play. Animal Crossing, and that's about it. But that's her type of game. So I want her to sit down and play it. I want to get her opinions on it from a not as hardcore gamer.
Yeah.
Because I'd be very interested with how much ranting and raving I always hear about this game. I want to know the impression from someone that isn't a hardcore gamer.
Well, you know? Just don't get the impression that because it doesn't look like a hardcore game that it's easy. Especially the beginning.
I watched people
very
get brutalized.
Difficult.
Well, she was talking about how much she got pissed off at Dragon's Quest. I mean, she beat it. But I forget which one, because there's like a bunch of them. Yeah. But one of the ones that she had for her DS, like, she was playing through it, and I guess she got to a certain point and then just kept like grinding XP so that she can get a little bit more of like one or two more levels to just push her over the edge to beat a boss or whatever. But then finally after she did it, she steamrolled the rest of the game, and then she's like, yeah, it was fun.
I love grinding in Earthbound, which it's weird to say I enjoy grinding in any game, but after
I enjoy grinding at the club.
I enjoy grinding in certain games, it depends.
Well, when you in Earthbound, when you go to one of the big dungeon areas to collect notes for the Soundstone, there's a boss there, and once you beat it, all the enemies in that location run away from you.
Oh, that's awesome. So you can't grind.
No, you can grind because the battle system in Earthbound is unique in that the enemies are on the map, and when you touch the enemy to initiate the fight, you can get a colored swirl. If it's gray, it's just a normal fight. If it's red, that means they got you from behind and they get the first attack. Green means you got them from behind and you get first strike. So when enemies are running from you, you get the first attack pretty much all the time
because they're trying to get away.
And another great part about Earthbound is if you are overwhelmingly going to kick the enemy's ass, you just win the battle.
So that you don't even have
to,
like...
You see the swirl, the screen flashes, and it says you won.
Oh, wow.
So, you know...
So you can literally just sit there and just grind for hours and hours.
Hitting enemies, winning, and getting free experience just for walking around.
Wow. I gotta get around to playing that.
That's pretty baller. I was grinding in PlanetSide last night. We were running through and like taking all those fucking continents because there was really nobody there. What I ended up doing was
grinding in PlanetSide, which is funny.
I took a biolab? I took a biolab by myself.
So what that means is biolabs are these bases that are sort of elevated off the ground, and they're domes. They're very difficult to take, even with a huge amount of people, because it becomes, there's two big major entrances, and there's usually a teleportation way inside. But then what you have is the faction that owns that biolab camps in there with about 300 people. And if you come, if you walk into their line of sight, like, there's no
way
you, it's very difficult to get a large enough mass of people to get a foothold. But we were there because they have this these things called alerts, which is, they you get bonus XP for attacking certain things.
They're like dailies, but they happen like every couple hours instead.
Yeah, it's every few hours an alert will pop up and says capture all the biolabs on all the continents. So we went there, we're trying to get one, and we're trying to, like, loop around. But once the alert ended, everybody disappeared.
Yeah.
So, like,
so we were there by ourselves.
He
so
literally
I
walked in the door and just took it.
By myself. And with no resistance whatsoever. So what's interesting about those biolabs, though, and this was something that I kind of found out. So this is a little trick if you can get on planetside where nobody else is there and you're going to take a biolab by yourself, which is very rare. But...
not on Amoresh, apparently.
Not on Amoresh.
Which is one of the continents.
So, if you go on there, what I ended up doing was there's the shield generator.
Oh, yeah, this is his grind credit.
There's the shield generator so that when you initiate destroying the generator, you'll get a certain amount of experience.
Yeah, for completing an objective.
For completing an objective. So I completed the objective by starting to deteriorate and blow up and overload the generator. But I timed it because the generators go for about 2 minutes. I had a minute left on the capture of the point. So I started overloading the generator, and then as soon as I captured the point, the generator was still overloaded. So then I went back and then repaired the generator because it was overloaded, and then got the experience for repairing it.
And it's not like a little amount, too. It's a huge amount of XP.
Yeah.
So he went up like 3 levels in a night, which is like obscene. I go up a level like in a week, maybe.
Yeah, I went up 3 levels in
but
one night.
Back to Earthbound, though, one of the big things about that is the music, which I know you've been excited about.
Yes, it is easily my favorite soundtrack in any video game ever. And I've mentioned a bunch of times on the show that years ago I made an Earthbound remix project. You could get it, jocam.net/boundtogether.
You made it?
Yes.
Tell us about this.
What do you want to know? He's talked about it plenty of times.
Make it?
How did you not know about it?
Now
I organized it. A couple years ago, I want to say like 7 or 8 years ago, I was driving with some friends down to Dallas, Texas.
But wait a minute, Earthbound just came out. How did you work on that? Keep going.
Smart ass. I was driving down to Dallas, Texas with some friends. I know Dishu was there, my friend David Sue, and a couple other people. But he and I were discussing all the different remix projects that are on Overclocked Remix. Uh-huh. And, you know, they do this game, and they just game after game after game. And a lot of them weren't that great. Uh-huh. Like, it's just they get whatever people they can to do whatever songs they can. And I don't think that there's a high level of quality in a lot of the projects that they've put out, just because the music isn't what I like. So people have different opinions.
If it's not what you like, then it's not high quality.
But
Phil Fish.
We
can we make a new verb called Phil Fishing?
Phil Fishing for comments. You just want angry comments is what that'll mean.
But anyway, we were discussing which games deserved remix projects that didn't have one, and we what?
Double Dragon.
That has a good remix. Well,
sort of.
Double Dragon.
Double Dragon Neon. That's basically a remix.
It's a reimagining.
You're reimagining. Go on.
Do you want the story or not?
I want the story.
You ask.
Sorry.
Give it to me, baby.
And we thought that Earthbound was a game that really deserved some attention to it, because it wasn't a game that had a lot of remixes in general on Overclocked Remix, and we thought, hey, you know, should do Earthbound.
Mm.
We should do Earthbound.
Mm.
And
we did Earthbound.
Well, David didn't really do too much.
I was going to say, end of story, we did Earthbound.
Well, I felt, you know, I'm going to take this seriously. I talked to a bunch of friends I've met at MAGFest or that I've talked to on Overclocked Remix and VG Mix over the years, and I got 30-some songs put together of Earthbound remixes in a span of 3 months. Which,
wow.
People back then were like, oh man, how long have you been working on this? 3 months? No, you haven't. There's no fucking way you did this in 3 months. Like, there's people who spend...
Did you get it?
Got the bug.
Wow, nice. That was
ninja. There's people who spend years working on remix projects. and I got this organized and released in about 3 months.
Wow, like, that's nuts.
Everything done. And
you should be an organizer. A promoter.
I've tried to put stuff together since then, and nothing would ever really come together. You always get the people who just procrastinate over and over. And, you know, I had a remix project that was waiting on one guy for over a year.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually an Animal Crossing remix project.
Oh, man.
And I waited on this guy because he was going to do every single hour of the day has different themes. He was going to do a medley of all 24 hours of the day.
And that'd be awesome.
And he, after a year, he's just like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
And I pretty much just canceled it and released what I had, because without that song was going to be a gigantic piece of the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've tried a handful of different games over the years, and nothing has ever been as important to me as Earthbound.
Yeah.
But a year after,
that game's got a legacy. It's got a really big history, and, you know, at least stateside, I think. I mean, yeah. I guess all over the world, but I mean, I feel like the way it's treated in the United States is very special, because I mean, it's a game that influenced a lot of people very young,
yeah.
and had got a great set when it was released. I mean, that box is unbelievable, you know, and that's a lot of love was put into that game, and it shows in the people who care about it all throughout that time period.
Yeah,
know?
That's why communities like Starman have been active for years now, because people just love this game. It's like with Bound Together. I put out the project, and people are like, oh, you didn't do this song. You didn't do this song. You didn't do this song.
Yeah.
So a year later, I re-released it with, like, 15 more songs. I mean, a handful of them.
People were like, where's this song?
Yeah, there were still a lot of songs that didn't get covered. There's just so much amazing music in the game.
Yeah.
But, you know, a handful of the songs were stuff that was already released that I asked this guy if I could include. He had no problem with it, so I included those. I got a couple new tracks done for it. And, you know, right now it's 48 songs, and it's free to download. And if you like Earthbound, I'm sure you'll love at least a handful of the songs on there. Hell, I'm on one of the songs on there.
You should dress up. The next convention you go to, you should dress up as Ness.
I can't pull off Ness.
Yeah, you can.
Why not?
Do it.
I don't think I pull. My buddy Hex.
It'll be funny.
My buddy Hex dressed up as Ness a few times. He actually showed up at our bachelor party with the hat and the shirt. he looks awesome dressed up like him. But, you know, since then, I've actually done another Earthbound related song for Mustin. He put out.
Mustin.
He put out something called Vision Quest, where he wanted to get. He put together an EP to sell so that he could afford contacts and glasses. And I offered to help him out, and me and my buddy Flick did a song called I Want to Be Beside You, which is pretty much I Want to Get Drunk and Fuck Mustin.
Oh my god.
So, okay, so I'm gonna do a side project EP, solo project. Because I too need glasses, so thank you. Thank you for the idea. I'm gonna get working on that. That's not a bad idea. Why didn't I think of that before?
He had it on Bandcamp. You could still get it. It's $5. There's 5 songs. There's a lot of good stuff on there.
Huh.
Dale North did a song. Beefy's on a song.
Here we go. I know the first song. Combat Man.
Yeah, oh, so. Our planet side song is Where's Your Head At?
You're not gonna do Chuggo?
you can't touch Chuggo. Chuggo,
I don't think you can. I think that song is uncoverable.
I would. You know what? I will.
So anyway,
I fucking will.
Where's Your Head At is our planet side song. Like, I will blast it over the proximity channel for voice.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody,
so
within, anybody within like 100 yards of me will hear the song playing.
And
we will just take a facility, and like people will be like yelling at us like on the comms like that we're assholes or whatever because we just beat them in a firefight, and then I'll just start blasting that, and like you'll see everybody's avatar like with their guns like dancing and stuff. Oh, it's so funny. So, but our thing is he plays a combat medic.
I play a combat medic a lot because getting them XPs and them heals.
Yeah, so like, our he's gonna make a cover song called Combat Medic.
It's just gonna, I'm just gonna reimagine Where's Your Head At, but it's just gonna be Combat Medic, Combat Medic, Combat Medic.
Yeah, that's gonna be.
Oh, you guys are fucked up.
Don't let the Vanu cave in on you.
I think that'll be the first Planet Side song, and I swear to God, if we ran with this,
oh my gosh,
they have a convention going on this week for Planet Side.
Yeah,
it's SOE Live, dude. I swear to God, they'd invite you out to play. Like,
they probably would.
Planet Side people would go fucking ballistic for that shit.
I will. Here we go. Four song Planet Side EP.
we could call ourselves Terran and the Republics.
It shall be done. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm having surgery in 2 weeks, and then I'm going to be out of commission for like a few months. So I'm just going to sit and just write. I'll just sit and write stupid fucking songs.
We should try to get people to make three different bands, like a Vanu Sovereignty band, a New Conglomerate band, and a Terran Republic band. Because this happened a while back with like Harry Potter.
Right.
Have you ever heard of these bands? They had Harry and the Potters, Draco and the Malfoys.
What was the other one?
Oh, God.
I forgot the other one.
Who was the fucking redhead kid?
Ron and the Weasleys?
Yeah, Ron and the Weasleys. Me and a friend were, like, this close. We were, like, writing shit down for it. We were going to do Snape in the Potions class. and it was going to be, like hipster fucking poetry reading while slutty girls were trying to mix potions behind me. Like, oh my God, it would have been.
You would have to
hysterical.
Talk like Snape, though. Like,
yeah, I used to be able to do it. I'm not going to do it right now, but.
If you had the longer hair, you could look like Snape.
I cosplayed Snape, like, twice. I went to a Harry Potter midnight release, and people wanted pictures of me because they thought I was dressed up as Snape.
And he was just there as a person, like, as himself.
I was just, like, going to a movie, and people thought I was dressed up as Snape. I'm like, no, I'm not. I don't mean this.
I gotta see pictures of you cosplaying as Snape now.
Yeah, because the other thing is too. I mean, like, you can see it without the cosplay.
But I want to see it with the cosplay.
I don't think I still have pictures of it. Maybe if I did,
fucking find them.
I'm pretty sure you destroyed all evidence.
If I ever go to the Harry Potter Disney thing, I'll totally do it again.
Oh my God.
So, alright, yeah, so I'm gonna wind this down. I gotta get rolling.
Terran and the Republics.
Terran and the Republic. I wanna do a New Conglomerate band more than anything.
Well, yeah, because that's what we play. So, you come up with the name.
I got just as I think we're getting a reader mail, you guys just go back.
Oh, I thought we didn't have any reader mail.
No, we never got to
it. Oh, let's do it now. Reader mail.
Before we get to it, I did wanna mention who the other artists were for the pictures. Image number 5, which was the
tablecloth drawing.
The quote-unquote image.
That was from Colin, writer for Save Continue. Number 6, which was the female body with the mastodon head, that was from longtime writer Amanda.
Oh! Didn't she win the last prize?
No.
No, she, or did she... Who won?
She was the one that made us laugh terribly. When okay. she put her...
Oh,
yeah.
That's who she was. She,
yeah.
Number 7, which was the very, very accurately portrayed, printed out, and scribbled on, was me. Yes, I did submit that one. And then number 8,
yeah,
which
who
was
did this
the,
one?
The scary one with the...
The leg hair.
The hairway to heaven, as you call it.
Yeah, to heaven.
That was good old beast mode Kyle Gatto.
Oh!
Oh, Kyle.
So I guess the singer of Mastodon went into beast mode with all that hair.
Beast mode.
Or no, blade mode.
Blade mode.
Blade mode, yeah.
Blade mode.
Blade mode.
See, I try to block it from my mind.
Yeah, the more that you forget it, the better off you are.
Yeah, life is just better that way.
It really is.
But yeah, congrats again to John Peters for being Nick's choice as the winner, and to Randall Drew for being our runner-up, who's getting a fucking game
real call. Real slutty posters.
Yeah.
You hang them up in your bathroom, like, right in front.
I did not want to give those up. I wanted to frame them and hang them at some point, but...
Make sure that you have, like, a real, like... You have to have a man cave to put them up in.
Well, you know what? It's a cool collector's item, too, because they were not, like, they were very limited.
And then I don't remember seeing like any of those.
They were instantly gone. Yeah. So that's a very good collector's item too, if you like Bayonetta at all, which is a fantastic fucking game. So.
All right. So first email is from Amanda.
Hi.
Yes. Two things. A, I know a lot of people happen to have gaming parties.
I do.
And they group up at one place and they would pretty much LAN with each other or just multiplayer. However, out of fun, they would make drinking or daring games out of them.
Yes.
For instance, let's say you're playing Team Fortress 2 and every time you get meleeed to death, you have to take a shot. Or you're playing League of Legends and you have to have the most kill death assists. You have to play blindfolded for a minute the next round. What kind of games do you know or wish you could play while actually playing actual games?
We came up with a drinking game.
What was we had a bunch of them. There's one
recently, though.
Oh, you're right. What was it?
And it was, like, hysterical.
It was. It was fucking, like, we would be fucking dead and, like...
What games were we playing recently?
I don't remember.
Oh my god. It wasn't Trackmania, was it?
Ooh, it was Trackmania. That's exactly what it was.
Every time you restart the race, you have to take a shot.
Well, yeah. Well, that would be absolute death. You would probably die with it.
So, Trackmania is a fantastic racing game on PC. Very cheap. I recommend Trackmania 2 Canyon or Trackmania 2 Valley. There's two different versions with different styles, but they're basically time attacks with ridiculous Hot Wheels style levels. And if you hit delete, it restarts the race. And it's really, really, really fun. But we thought about doing a drinking game with it because you restart
like, so often.
A lot of the time, some of the harder maps, you're just trying to finish the map. And you'll make one quick mistake and you'll restart so your time is good no matter what. And it's a lot of trial and error. So we thought, like, man, how funny would it be if we had a drinking game with this wherein every time you restarted, which is pretty frequent, you had to take a shot or a drink, dude, you'd be obliterated after, like, two maps. They're, like, 5 minutes long.
So you want to have fun drinking games, not lethal drinking games.
Well, here's the thing. It would be fun if you had a crew of people who are familiar with the game.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time, you'll start getting through the maps pretty frequently, and then you don't have to restart.
Yeah.
But you can. There's a few times where you'll be relatively forced. But, I mean, you could do it with a LAN, wherein people will be crashing and their times will be horrible because they don't want to take that shot. But they will have maybe, like, an ending clause of
whoever's in last place
has to chug. And then,
has,
like,
to chug-o.
Has to chug-o. So what would happen then is you don't want to restart, but the last minute of the five-minute map, where you now know the map and you now have a decent time, You're gonna be racing to try and win, so you don't have to do that penalty.
Yeah.
And you might restart and be like, I gotta do it. Like, you know, that would be so fun. It's so frantic of a game.
I think a realistic version of it would be every time you restart, you would have to at least take a sip of whatever it is that you're drinking, whether it be beer or mixed drink, whatever. Then whoever loses, just to make sure that there's, you know, you can play for a more prolonged period of time. Waterfall for 5 seconds.
Oh god.
I mean
waterboarding?
No, you might finish your drink, you might not. But now if you are interested in stuff like that, I forget what channel it is on YouTube, but there was a series that I was watching for a while just because I was interested in how to delegate some of this kind of stuff. But if you YouTube search, there's a really good Mario Kart one, Mortal Kombat, Mario Party, NBA Jam, League of Legends, and every single one of them they came up with, they renamed the game so that it would incorporate, you know, their drinking, like League of Loggers. NBA Jam Tournament Edition. I forget what the fuck they called it, but it was like NBA. I don't know. I forget. But there was one for NFL Blitz. But every single one had like they had a full blown list of the regular rules, the penalties, the whole nine. So if you're interested in making gaming drinking games, it's there. All you have to do is just YouTube searching. My favorite one is the Mario Kart drunk driving, where basically what it is when you start the race, you have a can of beer. Okay, that can of beer has to be finished before you cross the finish line. So either some people will chug the beer as fast as they can and then try and finish the race, or some people will try and race while drinking the beer.
I thought the whole rule is you can't be moving while drinking.
No, you can't. It depends. There's certain people play it one way.
The one I've heard is you cannot be moving at all while you drink, because there's no drinking and driving.
Well, no, this was the thing. This was drunk driving. This was the whole point.
But you, like, that's why people would chug at the beginning, or you would drive through, get near the end, stop, chug it, and then cross the finish line. But you couldn't be driving and drinking at the same time.
Well, yeah, it depends. It's house rules. It's all,
yeah, that's the rule I heard.
But the other thing was, too, it was, like, whoever comes in last place has to take a shot. Whoever comes in first place gets to delegate a shot. But it was that one I thought was really interesting. What was the other one that I actually really, really liked? The Street Fighter Cross Tekken one was cool, because you played in teams of two. So you had, like, half of a beer. Like, you would have one can of beer, because it's basically, you know, you have two wins per round. So
is he still going?
Yeah.
The Street Fighter Cross Tekken one.
Well, I have to get going very soon, so we have to. We're at an hour and a half long podcast so far.
Oh, we're good.
So this is 24 and 25.
Well, yeah. Look it up. Street Fighter Cross Tekken one's good.
Just, all right. Number two part of her email was, I demand a nostalgia episode. Give me yesterday game conversation. So we will have to do that at another episode.
Yep. Wait, what?
We actually did that in episode 24, but that one got lost, so.
Then our other emails from Zach Lyons. You remember last episode, he said he was finally catching up on all the episodes.
Oh, yeah.
This was from the 25th. He says, have now listened to episodes 14 through 16. Joe, I think two or three songs at the end of a cast is a good number. Certainly no more. Tough shit. This episode's going to have a lot.
This one's going to have 48 songs.
Still all of the whole Bound Together.
Still loving the jams I'm hearing. Tim, I think it's near the beginning of episode 14 when someone's phone rings and you answered it as Solid Snake. Fuck, man, I died. Please answer every phone call like that forever. That was damn hilarious. That's all.
Yeah, I do that a lot, so I'm sure that'll happen again at some point.
Do you want to talk to him directly? Just talk to Zach as Snake.
I don't know if I'm ready.
Not as of
another
right
time.
Now.
Another time. Yeah. Keep him in mind. And
you know what? Get his number. Get his number, and we'll surprise call him. One of these episodes.
I should have answered Kunal earlier, actually, with the snake voice, because I didn't recognize
Kunal.
Was calling from. Calling Kunal.
For the
so that was all Kunal. The mail.
Yep, those Kunal. Were the two. Aside from, of course, all of our eight contests.
Thank you for all those wonderful entries.
Again, the link to see all those will be in the YouTube description and the Save Continue description. So if you haven't already checked them out, check them out, or you'll be missing the point of a lot of our jokes.
At least for the first, you know,
first
half an
20
hour
minutes, I have no idea what the fuck we're talking about.
Bottle table cast that I just dropped.
Oh god.
Don't break my table.
With an empty
plastic bottle?
Ashley will fuck you up if you break the table.
Oh, you broke the table. Oh, shit. Beep, boy. Beep, beep, beep. Beep, beep, boy. Beep, beep, beep.
Thank you. batter.
Take a bat to the face, motherfucker, you sucker. I'll be you like no other. From on it to three, doing what I need to save the day and keep Gygas at bay. Skip sandwich deluxe, speed up my feet, get through Skara before I die of heat. To a dungeon man, the brick road maze dude. Happy, happy town,
what the fuck?
It's all blue. Summers and winters, Tucson and Forsyth. Chill with Ann Donuts or the Runaway Five. I got my posse in tow, Paula, Jeff, and Pooh. Pokey, watch out, cause we're coming for you. So grab your yo-yo and gun, we'll have a little fun. Bottle rocket in your face, yeah, you know I fucking won. Threw him to the curb, stomped the little bitch's face. Made the fat piggy cry, yeah, I put him in his place. So I saved the day and the world from devastation. United for peace across the earthbound nation.
So back up
and shut up and bow at my feet. Ness is taking care of business, cause I'm fucking Lee.
Hey, I live in big man.
I'm having trouble with my tribbles. Shit smells so foul, you could call it double dribble. In fact, make it a triple. Got beef, we call it mutton. Moving through the vents, A3 and Charlie Dutton. I'm a strap bomb, verbal blitz vocation. I am patient with my rhyme scope, snipes like agents. A rap vacation, a rhyme elimination. Putting words on the page like bird flu to Asian. Hit hard like crack rock, they call me the shock doc. I'm stocking like pet shops on one of them red jobs. Sign pulling to pawpaw, smuggle like bed frames. 2 pounds of coleslaw delivered in red vein. They call me Hank on the roof, big man on a mission. Can't fuck with the truth like bomb on your vision. 2 rounds can splash on your dome like baseballs. And face falls to the ground, cone like maze walls. Now they can't stop us cause we moving too fast. Enough sand in the eyes, turn the desert to glass. Hit them bow, it's a nuclear bomb detected. Infected with the rhyme meat rejected.
Master of the Psy, Pookie's causing trouble, and now he's gonna die. I come from Delam, where the samurai hail. I've gotta make my master proud and prove that I won't fail. These demons are attacking cause I'm no defensive dude. HP's down to zero, but wait, I got the food. Hell's back again, Prince is back on top. Oh my god, critical smash. Baddie just got rocked. That hippie's got a toothbrush and a tube of Colgate. I'll blind you with those whites, Ness, you better look away. I'll slice some dice with my sword of kings. Till the fat lady sings, star some in your
whoa,
face.
Where'd you get that?
Rogue training, running through the cities with people talking witty. From the dunes that are dusty down to old Saturn Valley. Picking up presents and stealing monsters' money. That's how I gotta roll if I wanna keep my honeys. Yeah, that's it, you don't get any more. Fuck you.
Hey, Earthbound, what the fuck is this? Apparently it's a three-dimensional plastic case with a modern-day circuit board mounted inside with the sole intent and purpose of entertaining a modern-day audience of years ago but unlimited to today.
What?
Duh, but I've never played this game. Sounds lame, but it's true, and this unfortunate lack of gameplay I cannot undo. The cartridge is downstairs, you dumb fuck. Go play it, I say.
I don't want to, Mommy. Games make my wee-wee tingle, okay?
Curiosity killed the cat, and cats are fat. So I measured the dimensions of the cartridge itself and come to the stunning conclusion. 5.5 by 3.5 by 1.something. Ah, fuck, that something means nothing. A chemical analysis proves nothing of hypothesis of which I thought up in the shower while I read Nintendo Power.
What?
Ah, so I lied, but the fact remains that the game is made of gray plastic.
Or so I think.
Yeah.
those are really, really good tracks, and we here at Harmonix are proud and very excited to have a popular band like Nickelback available for download from Rock Band Music Store.
That was the best PR statement I've ever heard in my life.